Okay, I got a very big introduction there. I hope I don't disappoint you all. I've been told that every word of mine can change your life. Before we start talking about changing our life in dramatic ways, is there any place for everyone to sit? That's a good change for those who are standing. Okay, the next change I'd like to make in some of the people's lives is to ask you to kindly keep quiet, if you can, while I speak. I'd be appreciative. The subject matter of tonight's talk is be happy. So I'll open it with what might seem to be a stupid question, which is, who wants to be happy? Everyone who wants to be happy can kindly raise their hand. And if you don't, we'll come around with a hammer and hit you on the head. It sounds like a stupid question, doesn't it? Because it's obvious that everyone wants to be happy. In fact, not only human beings, but every living being that has ever existed, the only thing they do at every moment is meant for increasing their happiness and decreasing all obstacles that may stand in the way of their attaining happiness. And even people who sacrifice for others, every parent is supposed to, they naturally sacrifice for their children, people sacrifice for their country, but there's a kind of pleasure there. So everyone's looking for happiness, every living being. You see, even the plants, they grow toward the light. Even though if there's a worm in stool and you take it out of the stool, you will feel that my natural right has been taken away and will crawl back to his happy, tasty, warm, fresh stool, which for him is the source of all happiness. So everyone wants to be happy, which is, I guess, why most of you are studying or working in some job. Everyone wants to be happy. The whole modern society especially is based very much on the principle of be happy, although traditional society didn't emphasize so much this directly being happy by eating whatever you like, staying up all hours. It was more, there was more a sense of responsibility. But in the modern age, the idea is that, well, you only live once, so make the most of it. Be happy. Enjoy yourself. Earn lots of money. That seems to make sense, doesn't it? Earn lots of money. Get a big... No one gets a big house. Well, if you can get some small apartment in a high-rise building in a good area, and hum do hamare do, which I have one wife and two girlfriends, or. That's happiness. Well, I'm a sannyasi, I'd say that's more trouble. But anyway, you're not supposed to say things like that. So enjoy yourself, eat all kinds of food, drink plenty of booze, and be happy. I mean, be sure to have a health insurance policy also. You can probably get one from the Bank of Baroda, is it? See, I... And... hopefully, then, when you've had 20 years of being happy, then the health insurance policy will cover all the bills, which for your heart problems and cholesterol problems and stroke problems and this and that and all the other problems. So the idea is to be happy by enjoying yourself. So why am I telling you this? If I'm a sannyasi, sannyasis are supposed to be renounced from the world. And we in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, those of us who are dedicated members, ashram members, brahmacharis and sannyasis, we get up in the morning latest by 4 o'clock. which is the time those who are enjoying themselves are just maybe winding down their night. And we follow various rules, such as no eating of meat, fish, eggs, even garlic or onion. So you may think, where's the happiness? No illicit sex, which goes against the whole current of modern society. No illicit sex means sex is allowed for those who are married. And marriage means between man and woman. And now, well, I could be shot almost literally in other parts of the world for saying that. Maybe here too. And what's more, that's for procreation of children only. Then no intoxication means no booze, and not only no booze, but not even tea or coffee. And no gambling, no lotteries, and all this kind of thing. And we also don't watch TV, we don't go to the movies, and we don't do practically anything which is meant, which people would think is enjoyable. Why do we accept such a way of life? For happiness, because everything that everyone does, including the worms in stool, is for happiness. So why have we come to this extreme position? And why are you sitting listening to this dangerous talk? You might also start adopting all these rules. That's pretty dangerous, isn't it? Well, you've come here because you want to be happy, right? Because everything everyone does is for happiness. It's just the law of the universe. So, we might consider that although human society has developed remarkably in so many ways, developing jet planes by which you can travel to America. I was just looking on the internet this afternoon, because I also have to go to America a little later this year. And within 16 hours, you can get from Bombay to New York on a non-stop flight. Although I remember seeing on a Singapore Airlines flight of about 15 years ago that soon we'll be able to fly from Singapore to London in 3 hours by some super cooling technology. They didn't get that together. Anyway, maybe, sometime. You can get on a plane in Singapore and be in London in 3 hours. So these kind of advances are there. We can Skype with people from an island in the Pacific to, well, anywhere else where there's a good enough internet connection. So many advances are there. You can go to a hospital and if you have your insurance policy, you can at least get the diagnosis done. Find out all the things that are wrong with you. And if you're lucky enough, they might cover the treatment also. So there's no doubt that there are great advances in modern society. Now, with the flyovers in Calcutta, we have traffic jams on the ground and up in the sky a little bit also. So that's another advance, that we have multi-level traffic jams. However, although human society has made tremendous progress in technology, they really missed the point, because the progress in the really important thing, which is to be happy, by the way, it seems everyone forgot about that, and they're so busy working hard to try to be happy that the actual point of being happy is lost altogether, as we saw just now in the story of Jaisen, the imaginary Jaisen, who stands for millions of people all over the world, that they're working hard to get all the good things of life, but they're totally miserable. And that we see increasingly in India also, as India adopts the Western way of life, although in your generation you're not really adopting the Western way of life, you're just born into that. But I've seen India. I lived here most of my life. Going from a society in which to get a cheap Western watch or a pair of jeans from the West was considered something highly prestigious, because there weren't any jeans in India. So it was considered highly backward. And to a society in which India is exporting the brain drain from IIT to New York. And we find that all over America and many places in the West, so many Indians are going in, Chinese also, because good brains are going out there. So people are already attuned to that way of life, being here. And if they're not, just like in South India especially, many good-brained young people come out of the small towns and villages of Tamil Nadu or whatever. They come to Bangalore and they have to be reprogrammed by their company to booze and have parties, and in this way spend all their money, lots of money they earn. So they have to spend, they have to get attuned to this culture and work hard and harder and harder and harder. And one of the booming industries in Bangalore, as you may know, is the mental health hospitals, which is mostly filled with bright young professionals who came from the villages to the city, got reprogrammed, and they doing system breakdown, and the system hung pretty badly, nervous breakdowns, and then they end up in the mental hospital. So India, for all its progress, is blindly imitating the West and getting all the same problems also, and as foolishly as the West was, is considering it progress. Of course, the West is always somewhat ahead. So in the West, if we say these things, people can accept that. Many people accept that modern life has failed to deliver the real thing, the real things that people need, or the most important thing, happiness and satisfaction. Apart from happiness and satisfaction, in the modern world, even if you pay for it, you cannot get fresh, pure drinking water. That, whatever's in a plastic bottle is already old and poisonous. By the way, plastic bottles are poisonous. However much they may say the water inside is pure, they're poisonous. You can't get fresh food in a city. Fresh food means you pluck it out of the ground, cut it, cook it immediately. We're talking about vegetable foods here. And offer it to Krishna. And if it's not grown with all the chemicals and various other poisons, which are normal nowadays, if you ever wondered why so many people are getting cancer, which they didn't used to get, it's not just from those, you see the picture of the crab on the gutkha packet, but it's from much more innocent-seeming things, like potatoes. They're all full of chemicals. So the food is poisoning us, the water and the air is poisoning us. So what kind of a society is this? We think it's very progressive and advanced, but with every breath the body is getting poisoned. The food that we take for nourishing us is poisoning us, and the air we breathe is poisoning us, the water, and more subtly, practically everything that we hear and see is also poisoning our mentality. So that we think that to live a life like this is normal. But it's not normal to live a life in which we're totally stressed out, in which we're trying to get happiness in a way that is guaranteed not to bring us happiness. Because how can you be happy? Just work, 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 work. And then at the end of it, sit in front of some TV to watch some completely stupid program. I mean, TV means every program is completely stupid. And just brainwashed into giving importance to things that are not important. Just like, for instance, now the World Cup cricket is going on. It's completely meaningless. It's someone's throwing a ball and someone's hitting with a piece of wood. Someone's chasing after it. They've made some rules. Yeah. It's nonsense. Maybe it's a child's game. They've made some rules that if you hit it this way, you get 4 runs and this and that. But it has actually no meaning. But people think, cricket, cricket stars. And someone's making a lot of money by gambling and bribing the players and all this. So we've made things that are of no importance into great importance. Foolish people jump around in front of some cameras and they call it a movie and, oh, the greatest movie. But it's just nonsense. Meaningless. This is a fact. We're totally out of contact with actual reality. It's the modern life. Anyway, this whole material world is maya. It's illusion. And modern life just makes it more and more illusion. TV, intoxication, movies, this rock music, which sounds like something's someone from hell with a headache dreamed it up. Bam, bam, bam. It sounds like... I mean, you can get it for free. Just hit yourself on the head with a hammer. It's horrible. It's horrible. And we think, and we are just conditioned by the norms which other people dictate to us. For instance, it's considered respectable and proper to wear a shirt and tie. Why? Why? What's so great about a shirt and tie? But everyone thinks, I have to dress like this. It's all the fashions change all the time. The different fashion designers, they get together and they say, okay, this is the fashion now. So then everyone has to buy that. And then after some time, some new fashion. And you have to change your hair this way and that way and another way, just according to what people dictate to you. And you have to work hard to get money, to spend it in a way which other people tell you will make you happy, but doesn't make you happy. This is madness. And people think it's called advancement. So, how to be happy? How to be actually happy? Well, rise early in the morning. That doesn't make us happy. Not in and of itself. But the real question we should be asking, I was saying in the West that many people have realized that this modern society is a hoax. And there are so many hoaxes. The media is, the TV and the newspapers are deliberately promoting various lies. There are various propaganda in the educational institutions which they're promoting, that just to mold people into such a way that they can become good slaves of a big economic system in which a few people get lots of money and most people are just working, 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 working. But even the big people with lots of money, they're also not happy. So, the really intelligent question to ask is, how can we actually be happy? Isn't that really the intelligent question to ask? It's not really, we take it for granted that getting lots of money will make us happy. Having a big position in society, being respected, all these things will make us happy. But then when we see that people are not happy, you can look at the statistics. I mean, America is supposed to be the most advanced country in the world, although it looks like its sunset is about to come, as all big empires do. America's on the way down now. Who's next? Well, let's see. Life is often more complex and unpredictable than we think. But it doesn't really matter, because whoever's next, there'll be some next after that. And even if, for instance, India can get over its tremendous social problems and become the leading country, the most powerful country in the world, so what? What's the benefit to anyone? Just like America's the leading country in the world now, But there are so many social problems that the poor children going to school at a young age, they have to be searched with metal detectors going into the school. What kind of society is that? That they're afraid that children going to school are carrying a gun to kill others, but they have to do it. They have to do that, because if not, it's quite likely that another kid, 8 years old or something, will pull out a gun and shoot another bunch of people dead. So clearly, I mean, it's just one example. The example is there, of taking one grain of rice, and if one is cooked, you can understand it's all cooked. So there's so many problems. They're just, they have such advanced technology, but somehow or other they can't stop plane loads and shiploads of cocaine and marijuana coming into the country. Somehow or other, surprisingly, they can't stop. I'm saying that sarcastically. Huge amounts of narcotics come in. There are gangs in every city and every small town that control the narcotics trade. And family life, well, there's still something like that in India, but in the West, many children grow up with one father after another, so-called father, which is why it's not surprising that they can pull out guns at school, because they're so frustrated. I mean, you go to school and then you come home, there's no one there. Your mother's out, she's working, and then she comes back and she's out at a party and no time for the kids. It's a society in which putting myself first, my own happiness, putting my own happiness first and neglecting our responsibility to others. And what happens is everyone becomes miserable. And now in America also, they have previously, they had the feeling that we were invincible. But after 9/11, they're afraid also that we can be struck even in our own country, because they never had that before. So seeing that, people are not happy despite all material advancements. Japan, such an opulent country. And then all of a sudden, big mess. But even before the big mess, they were in a big mess. That 20,000 suicides, what is it, a week or a year? I can't remember. Someone told me last time I was there. It's all high-rise building, and it's a normal thing. Plop. One less Japanese. The population just went down by one. Very normal thing. So unhappy. The people are so unhappy. They may smile. In the West, they've trained this. People are working in shops and airlines. They're trained to smile because that's supposed to be good for the business. So one time I was in America, saying everyone's smiling all the time. What is this? They're smiling all the time. I don't think they're really happy. So one time I thought I'd check it out. And I just looked in the eyes of one of these airline clerks, looked them right in the eye, and there was no smile in the eye. They couldn't hold my stare. It's just a plastic smile that they have to do for the sake of the company, to make the customer feel that the person cares for them, although they don't care for them at all. One friend of mine, a devotee, he was... He lived in an apartment in London, and he saw that just opposite, in the opposite apartment, there was a pretty young lady who every weekend she'd have a new boyfriend. So, one time he was in the lift with her, and he's going down or up, whatever. So he said to her, "So you're having a pretty fast life." I said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." I say, "You have a lot of friends." "Yeah, yeah, I have a lot of friends." He looked her right in the eye and said, "Are you happy?" She burst into tears. That is the... If you're actually confronted with, are we happy? Most people say, yeah, I'm happy. But it's not actual happiness. What it is, it's living life so fast that we don't have time to think. Because if we stop to think, we'll realize how miserable we are. That's modern life. Just always do something. Be excited. Work hard. When you're not working, go to a party, drink something, and then go to sleep. Get up immediately. Boom, 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 boom. Always moving on. Don't stop to think. It's dangerous. But if we do stop to think, then we'll see that this is not the way life should be lived. Even materially speaking, no one is happy. This Indian culture was traditionally based on the principle of being happy in the best possible way, in a manner that is not harmful to others, and in a manner that can satisfy us in the truest and completest sense. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks a lot about happiness. Arjuna, as you may know, he was feeling very unhappy. This is how the Bhagavad Gita came to be spoken. Because although Arjuna was doing everything he was supposed to do, he felt unhappiness, that I've come to this situation, I don't want to be in this situation, but I'm forced to be in this situation. So in the course of explaining to Arjuna why Arjuna was such a fool, actually Bhagavad Gita started by Krishna calling Arjuna a big fool, that you think you know a lot, but you're actually a fool. So that's a good start for speaking to many people who know a lot. They may be PhDs and so on and this and that, but they don't know what the real purpose of life is, so they're actually fools. And they're doing everything they can to be happy, but they're not happy, so therefore fools. So, one of the verses of Bhagavad Gita, the Sanskrit is, Indriyani parani ahur, indriyevya parang manaha, manasastu parabhute, yobudhe paratastu saha. Krishna analyzes that there is the sensual platform, there is the mental platform, there is the intellectual platform, and there is the platform of the Atma or soul. So modern society is mostly on the lowest platform. Now most of you may be on the mental or intellectual platform, being students or supposed to be more intelligent, but actually, the whole society doesn't care that much for you, because the people who are really rated the highest are those who are expert in giving others sense enjoyment and who are expert themselves in sense enjoyment, which is the lowest platform. Who are the most highly rated people? For instance, the cricket players, the film stars, those who give us enjoyment at the lowest level. They're the most highly rated and the most highly paid people. Because the film star looks beautiful and they can jump around and in front of a camera and bounce their bodies around in various sexy looking ways, and this makes them rich. So the most highly rated people are those on the platform of the senses. What is considered most important is the ability to enjoy the senses. But, as we have noted, even the lower creatures are doing that. The worm in stool feels great happiness in the stool because it's fresh, it's tasty, it's warm, it's comfortable, and it's got everything a worm in stool could ever dream for. So, if we are simply looking for sense enjoyment, then, Krishna indicates, we are, for all our so-called advancement, not intrinsically on a higher platform than the worm in stool, or the dog in the street, who fulfills the aim of modern society, which is to enjoy yourself principally by sex enjoyment. The dog does it without going to IIT, without a degree. So the dog's actually more intelligent because he doesn't have to work so hard. He just finds some kutti on the street. So, for all the advancement, you're still way behind the dogs. But the problem, there's a problem, there's a big problem, a very big problem. There are many problems with this trying to be happy by enjoying the senses, which Krishna also points out in Bhagavad Gita. It's a great book, Bhagavad Gita. I highly recommend reading it. You say, I was introduced here as my words will change your life, but actually Krishna's words are the most powerful words. The newspaper, that's thrown away every day, but the Bhagavad Gita is going on at least 5,000 years. And actually in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he spoke this millions of years ago, although according to Darwin's stupid theory, there were no people until a short time ago. Darwin was another idiot, by the way. We'll talk about that another time. Well, you don't know why yet, but anyway, that's another discussion. So, Krishna's words are very valuable because they make sense. It's not just some dogmatic belief. Believe in this or you burn in hell forever. Well, that's what I was taught when I was a kid. I thought, phew, what kind of God is that? Phew, terrible God. Sounds like the worst person you could ever meet. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives very meaningful advice. Krishna says to Arjuna, hey, look, Arjuna, there are certain problems with trying to enjoy this world. And Krishna enumerates four of the most prominent problems. They are called Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi. Birth, death, old age and disease. That, however much money you have and however much you frantically try to enjoy your life at every moment by cramming in as much sense gratification into every single nanosecond of your life, there are certain problems that, for instance, we get sick, and especially the more we try to enjoy our life by a supercharged existence, we're likely to get sick very soon. And in fact, just for instance, this idea of listening to what they call music at very high decibel rates destroys our hearing ability, so that gradually our ability to hear, especially subtle sounds, first of all they get destroyed and gradually we go deaf. Highly stressed out life is of course the cause of so many sicknesses, and it makes good business for Apollo hospitals and others whose doctors are also completely stressed out. So disease is a real problem. Old age is also a problem, because when you get old you can't jump around in a disco anymore, and you can't do anything practically for sense enjoyment. The whole idea of enjoying life, that can be done to some extent in youth, but, well, according to some scientists, they think that the process of aging begins at birth. But really it begins when you hit 30, you can see the difference. And when you're 40, there's a big difference between 40 and 20. The ability to enjoy, and when you hit 50, you know, now it's all over. And then it's all, really it's downhill all the way from there. And the body which we want to be happy with, that we've dedicated ourselves to enjoying this body, we see it rotting. And we feel it rotting from the inside. So death is also a problem. Ever thought about that? Death is a problem, right? And if we think we're going to enjoy ourselves in the world, well, death is a serious problem. And what's more, we get reborn again to go through this whole stupid cycle of trying to be happy and not being happy. So, therefore, if we really want to be happy, we should, as Krishna says, come above the sensual platform, the mental platform, the intellectual platform, and come to the spiritual platform, as was indicated by Jaisen Gupta, who stands for so many people who have actually thought about this. The example is there of the fish out of water. Now, if you take a fish out of water and give him a grandstand seat at the India-Pakistan match, will he be happy? If you take him out of the water and give him a date with the latest Bollywood starlet, whoever that may be, will the fish be happy? You can give him all kinds of things that you can imagine might make him happy, but the fish cannot be happy as long as he's out of his natural element. So we are all spiritual beings. You've all heard the term, Satchit Ananda, which means eternal, full of realized knowledge, and full of bliss. Bliss means unlimited happiness, which is experienced all the time. But this material world, by its nature, it is asat achit nirananda, to use technical terms. We can also use technical terms. In the IIT there are so many technical terms, so we also have technical terms. So asat means that everything in this world is temporary. Your degree is also temporary. When you die, you've got to start off, if you get a human body and not a dog body, which is anyway better for sense enjoyment, then you have to start all over again. My God, you have to go back and go through all that. Tuitions and school and college. It's worth taking spiritual life not to have to go through that again, isn't it? Then everything is temporary. You may get a beautiful wife, temporary. The beauty soon fades away. In fact, the beauty of a wife fades away very quickly because however beautiful she may be, or for the sake of the ladies, the good-looking young man who she marries, you don't even notice it after a short time. The other people notice it, but you don't notice it. That's the nature of material life. Everything is temporary. However strong your body may be, it's temporary. The strongest man in the world who can pick up... Does anyone know anyone up on all these things? Who's the greatest weightlifter? What's the greatest weight they can lift? Okay, here's a quiz. Anyone know? Any idea? I have no idea whatsoever. Nor do you. Alright, anyway, however great he may be, you just take one elephant and he can lift twice as much without any problem, so. If you want to be a weightlifter, then maybe you can ask Yamaraj to give you the body of an elephant the next time round. Or if you want to be an athlete, you could become a rickshaw puller in Calcutta. There are all kinds of things which Maya offers. So everything in this world is temporary. Whatever we get with hard labor, it's all temporary. But in the spiritual existence, everything is permanent. For knowledge, that's the knowledge in spiritual existence, that is realized knowledge. There's actual knowledge of our relationship with Krishna. Krishna means... The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the technical term, and in non-technical terms, he's just the greatest person you could ever imagine. In fact, much greater than anything you could imagine. Krishna's really wonderful. He's always blissful, and he's inviting us to come with him and be blissful eternally. No projects, no schedules, just complete happiness with Krishna. Krishna's very playful. He just plays all the time. But his play is called Leela. It's very happy activities. Of course, it's a little difficult to understand when we think that the purpose of life is to chew on a hamburger. But Krishna is all blissful. And we can be happy by being with Krishna, just like the fish can be happy in the water. Of course, not really happy, because another fish comes and eats it. He's always afraid of that. But anyway, it's just an example. We can be happy if we are with Krishna, because our natural position is to be with Krishna. So that's all. Be happy. Everyone should be happy. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. That is the Vedic message. Everyone should be happy. But we cannot be happy however many cokes we drink, however much fashion we have, however famous we are, however prestigious we are. Even if India wins the World Cup cricket, that will be a temporary happiness, and after some time they'll all be cheering and letting off fireworks, and then they'll lose a match to Kenya or something, and then they'll be. And you see, even if India wins, then all the others will be unhappy, right? So what kind of happiness is that? Just by putting others down. But in Krishna consciousness, everyone is the winner. There are no losers. How about that? A game in which everyone wins and no one ever loses. That is Krishna consciousness. That is actual happiness. So, we're inviting everyone to be happy. We're not saying you have to give up your IIT and your big career and all that. But bring Krishna into your life. We're all missing the point. What is the real point? We need love. And real love is love for Krishna. We can love everyone by loving Krishna. That is actual happiness. Krishna gives that to us by the very easy process of chanting His names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And giving us delicious prasadam. There's no need of Subways or McDonald's or any such thing. Nice, fresh, tasty, healthy, nutritious, spiritual food. Great friends. People who really care about each other at the real level, at the spiritual level. Friends in the material world. Now friends means someone on Facebook who you don't really know at all. But in the material world, friends mean someone you just kind of pick up so that you can use them for some time. That's not friends. Real friendship means in relationship to Krishna. Anyway, it's a big subject. But it's a fact. We can be happy in Krishna consciousness. And all other forms of happiness are temporary. Tucha. What's the word? Minuscule. Insignificant. Useless, meaningless. Many times people ask me, how long have you been doing this? Means this. So, now it's 36 years. And then they often ask, well, are you happy? And then I ask them, well, you see, I rise early in the morning. I don't take meat, fish or eggs. No gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. We don't go to cinema, we don't watch TV, we have actually very long hours, from 4 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, every day, no holidays. But our work is pleasure. So then I ask the people then, do you think I would do this if I wasn't happy? Long hours, hard work, no pay. Sounds stupid, doesn't it? But we're actually happy because we're doing it for Krishna. We don't have to do it. I could go back to my native land, England, and do some things. I don't know, I could earn money. Or I don't know what I'd do now. I guess I could maybe write something or do something or other. Become an actor. I mean, there's so many things you can do. But I'm not doing that because I'm achieving happiness here. So we're inviting you to all do that. And Hare Krishna, please chant Hare Krishna and be happy. There is no other way of being happy. It's all illusion and nonsense. Hare Krishna. So now you're cheering me, I should be happy. But I'll be very happy, not by your cheers, but by yourselves achieving happiness, real happiness, inner happiness, by the mercy of Krishna. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. May you all be happy by Krishna's grace. That's all I have to say for now. Unless there are any questions, or are you going to take questions here or no? Are we going to take questions? It's time for questions? Okay.
Hare Krishna. Now is the time for all of you to ask any questions. What you do is that, those of you have questions, can raise your hands and pass on the mic. And you can ask your questions to Maharaj.
There are many hands going up. I don't have time for so many questions. Hare Krishna. Yes, please ask.
So what does it mean by Krishna consciousness?
Krishna consciousness means to be conscious of Krishna.
Krishna.
Yes. Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. The technical definition is Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashashashriha Gyanavairagya Yoshtaiva Shannang Bhaga Itingana. Krishna means the one who has all wealth. Wealthy people are attractive, aren't they? Just like Bill Gates is attractive, Tata, Hinduja, Ambani. What's so special about them? They're filthy rich. Krishna's more rich than all of them. In fact, they're all thieves because they think this money is mine, but everything belongs to Krishna. So Krishna is attractive because he owns everything. Krishna is all powerful. Krishna is all beautiful. Krishna is Aishwarya, all knowledgeable. Krishna knows everything. Krishna is all famous. So Krishna means who has all wonderful qualities. That is the meaning of Krishna.
Sir, how can I believe you?
Don't believe me. Don't believe me. Don't believe me just because I'm saying it. Don't believe anyone just because they're saying it. Especially in the spiritual field. Because the spiritual field is full of more cheaters than any other field. So don't believe me just because I say it. But make an investigation. The postulate in this lecture has been, be happy. You cannot be happy by material life. So we put the boot back on your foot. You should look for actual happiness. Don't think you can find it simply by enjoying the senses. Then if you investigate, we propose that we can offer you that which is much better than that you presently have without this knowledge. So then you have to make an investigation. You cannot understand Krishna in 1 minute. Many great yogis, even after many, many lives, they haven't understood Krishna. Because Krishna cannot be understood simply by brain power. You take all the brains at IIT, simply by their brain power, they cannot even begin to understand Krishna. So it's not exactly a brain process, but it is a process that requires our humility and our sincere inquiry. That Krishna is supreme is described in all the authoritative literature, the Vedic literature, in Bhagavad Gita, that is established that Krishna is supreme. That is accepted by all great authorities. You don't have to believe me, but I recommend that you at least make an investigation. And if we are confident that if you make a sincere, niropeka, neutral, unbiased investigation, then you will come to the conclusion, as have so many great persons in the past, that actually Krishna is supreme and our real relationship is with Him. When we say great persons, we mean great in the true sense, because they have controlled their senses, they are not interested in petty material enjoyment, they are clearly on a higher platform of consciousness. So, my answer is, don't believe me, but make further inquiry.
Sir, my next question is...
Yeah, but one thing is, there are other people with questions also. Which is also why we have follow-up programs. We don't want to deny you, but there are follow-up programs by which gradually all your questions can be fulfilled. Because obviously, we can't cover the whole topic of spiritual knowledge in this limited time. So let's have another question from someone else. Yeah, but it has to go where I have to answer whoever gets the mic.
Sir, how will we get the eternal peace? Because in this state our mind is fluctuating and we are not control of our mind. So
yeah, so you can
get our mind.
The function to control the mind is to fix the mind on Krishna. That's the best process. Sorry, I couldn't hear you. Could you speak a little more slowly?
What did
he
say?
What did he say? I can't understand. Anyway, to control the mind, there is a process. Ultimately, the highest stage of that process is to fix the mind on Krishna. We can teach you that if you want. But please, you have to be a little patient. Yeah, we can teach you that, but you have to be a little patient. It's not like instant coffee. Spiritual realization is not just like you put some coffee powder and mix it up. It's not like that. You have to be a little patient. Just like to get your degree at the college, it's not just a matter of walking in and walking out. All it is a piece of paper, but to get that, you have to apply yourself for some time, isn't it? So we can teach you the process of controlling the mind and becoming peaceful. It's a very simple process. It's based on chanting the names of Krishna and understanding the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. But you have to take a little time. Don't think that you're going to walk out of here as a great yogi immediately. You can be, but it will take a little time. Patience is a great quality. It's not one that's promoted much in the modern world, but actually we can't achieve anything even materially that's very valuable unless we have patience, isn't it? We have many books actually which discuss this, and we have follow-up programs and seminars by which you can gradually understand this great science. Actually in Bhagavad Gita we find that word again and again, vijnana. It's not just a matter of faith, it's a science of self-realization. Yeah, anything else please? Yeah, okay, why don't you ask and I'll repeat the question, yeah. Oh, there's another mic there. Okay, speak it before someone else speaks. Quick, no patience.
Sir, how can we involve ourselves in such spiritual work of Krishna while living our normal life?
Normal life. Well, what you think normal is not what I think is normal. Yeah, how can you do that, yeah. Well, there are many students here, or people who are working in jobs who are doing that, so who are adding Krishna to their lives. So I suggest that question could be best answered, those who want to know how can they take up Krishna bhakti while leading a normal life, can ask some of those who are doing that already. There are plenty of them here. So, just like our Jai Sain, so-called. Where is he? Here, stand up. I only remember your name from the play now. So you can ask, what's your real so-called name? Sri Venkata Ayappa Satya Vijaya Krishna Chaitanya. All right, so here's Chaitanya. And you can ask him how you can do that. He can reply better than me. He's actually doing it.
Sir, I have one question, sir.
Yeah, please ask it. You can ask and I'll repeat it. Yeah, because they won't hear at the back.
First of all, I'd like to say you Jai Shri Krishna.
Jai Shri Krishna to everyone. Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Yeah.
I said to my father, I touched him, his feet, and I said to him that I'm going to temple with my friend. And now I'm really inside the temple, sir. Sir, Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya Gramya Bhavati Bharata Adhuthanam Dharmasya Sadat Nam Sijanyam Paritanaya Sadhanam Vinashnaya Dusitam Dharm Sanshapanaya Shambhavanandhi. This is not a mean that we can put any question before this great man. Now, I'd like to discuss something before you all.
No, you're supposed to ask questions, actually.
Yes, sir. My first question, sir, what is the difference between the Sri Krishna and Ishu, sir? Ishu.
Jesus?
Jesus,
yeah. Well, Jesus claimed himself to be the Son of God, and Krishna is God himself. That's the difference. Why are people not trying to understand God?
Yes, sir.
That's a very good question. People are not trying to understand God because they are bewildered by the flickering happiness of this material world. Because of the insignificant happiness that we get from sense enjoyment, we think this is all in all. It is an illusion. It is called Maya. Because we take this world more seriously than we should do. Okay, I think we should finish here. Huh? Some are getting a little restless. Krishna is? Yeah, but Krishna and Radha, that's a very high topic. Yeah, but that's a good question. In Krishna Leela there appears to be unhappiness also. In Ram Leela there appears to be a lot of unhappiness. But actually it's all happiness. In spiritual existence, there is apparent unhappiness, but it's just another phase of happiness. That's called Leela. Whereas in this material world, the happiness and unhappiness, the sukh and the dukh is all dukh. But in the spiritual existence, sukh and dukh is all sukh. I think we'd better wind this up because patience level has reached an end of many.
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
So let us thank Maharaj for his enlightening and awakening talk for all of us. And we understood the various levels of happiness. We understood how we don't have to go up to Sri Krishna, the highest level of happiness, there, taking divine shelter of the Lord. So let us have a loud applause for So it is Bhakti Vilas Maharaj for knowing and loving us.